The crucial tip-off on the mail bombs apparently came from a suspected member of Al-Qaeda. The man had been a detainee at the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay. He was in Saudi Arabia and is said to have wanted to return to his home in Yemen. He turned himself over to Saudi authorities and discussed the plot during interrogation. Meanwhile, in London today, Prime Minister David Cameron convened a crisis committee to decide Britain's response to the attempted attacks. The BBC security correspondent Gordon Carrera is in London. What is the latest on the response there to the terror threat?
We've had a raft of new security measures revolving around screening of items for cargo, freight, including also some passenger luggage items, particularly printer cartridges, which of course were used in this attempted plot, will now be banned from hand luggage, for instance, if they're over a certain weight. There's also restrictions on freight coming from not just Yemen, but also Somalia because of supposed connections. So the beginnings of a new security regime are coming into place now. But it will require international talks and cooperation to make sure it's uniform and workable around the world.
And one of the other countries that's being looked at right now is Saudi Arabia, and there's a particular reason for that. Tell us what the Saudi connection is here.
Well, it's from the Saudis that the key intelligence tip-off appeared to come in this plot, and the Saudis appear to have had a person who was once a member of Al-Qaeda who left it in the last couple of weeks in Yemen, went to the Saudis and offered up the information about this plot. And that seems to have been the key piece of information, because a large part of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula comes from Saudis, even though it's based in Yemen, and including the lead bomb maker who's believed to have been behind these devices. And so Saudi Arabia plays a key role, and its intelligence has been vital. And it's obviously one of the strengths of that we've seen in the last few days is the fact the intelligence sharing appears to have worked, even if the security screening didn't.
Does that mean that if the Saudis had not provided the tips that they did, that there was more potential for those bombs to explode since the security apparatus did not work?
I think that's absolutely right. I think from what people have said here in London, the devices were viable. They appear to have probably been based on some kind of timer. No one's quite been sure yet when they were designed to explode and where, but they were certainly viable, and they'd passed through the initial screening process. So without that tip-off, it could have been a very different outcome.
So what about, Gordon, the tracking, the source of this bomb? It seems as if a lot is known, and as you mentioned, they believe that they know the person who built the bomb. How do they know that, and what is the signature that led them to this particular person?
Yes, I mean, there's a lot of focus on Ibrahim Hassin al-Asiri, who is the prime suspect for making these devices. He is also believed to have been behind the Christmas Day attempt with Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab in Detroit, also an attack on a Saudi prince, and a number of other events in Yemen and beyond. Bomb makers tend to have signatures. Their level of sophistication is normally a good insight into who might be doing it, and officials seem to have seen this individual become more and more sophisticated, more and more ambitious, and looking for different ways of evading the security regime. And that's why he's particularly dangerous and a particular concern. He may not be the leader of the group, but in some ways he's the most important member if he has this level of sophistication and innovation in bomb making.
What are they doing, Gordon, to make sure that there are no other flights that are either in the air or set to take off that might have unaccompanied cargo from Yemen?
Well, we heard today in London that there have been extensive checks on any cargo which had already left before a ban took place, that these items have been extensively inspected. And now there are new bans in place. So I think the hope is that there isn't anything else out there that's in the system already. It's not impossible, and US officials have said they can't rule that out, but clearly they are getting more hopeful that there isn't anything beyond these two packages.
If security failed to find these explosives devices, whose security was it who failed?
Well, there are security checks along the way, but most of them start in the place of origin, which is part of the problem when it's Yemen. And many of the initial checks on cargo will take place where the cargo originates. And I think that's one of the key concerns, is whether the screening in Yemen, and also from Britain we heard today in Somalia, is good enough at those airports to find these kind of items. Because often once they're in the system, they stay in the system and they don't get checked again necessarily. Although in some countries there are different checks for trusted carriers who have a different level of security. And that's the case in the UK.
Thank you very much. The BBC's security correspondent, Gordon Carrera.